Hi and welcome to the call. This is Gideon Shelwick. Next up, I'm talking to Chris Garrett, all the way from the UK, also known as Chris G. In fact, a lot of people call me G, so I kind of like that. Now, Chris Garrett is the co-author of the very famous blogging book, Pro Blogger, with Darren Rouse. And today, I decided to interview Chris and ask him a few questions, pick his brain a little bit about the whole blogging thing, and asking him a few questions about specific things that he knows about blogging and what's helped him become successful as a blogger. Chris Garrett, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to the call.
Thank you for having me.
Chris, let's kick off this interview by just telling our listeners out there your backstory. You know, how did you get into blogging and why do you love it so much?
Well, I love it because of the freedom and the lifestyle it gives me, but I got into it when it wasn't called blogging. I kind of got into it just because I was a geek, and at the time the web was just starting up, and everybody that got into the web built personal home pages. This was back in the day when there was no such thing as broadband, and you had an old 9600 modem that squeaked and squawked like a fax machine. And I got a dial-up account to bulletin boards, and then I went from that onto the internet, and it was all news groups and email discussions, and I discovered this thing called Mosaic, fired it up, fell in love with the web, and decided that was what my career was going to be from that point onward. But at that time, you just built personal home pages, and you put some anything on there, and the it was only later when people started talking about journals and web blogging that I knew there was a thing that, it was a thing that people did. At the time, it was just rebuilding personal websites and just sharing a little bit of interest. So being a geek, I was into programming stuff. I was into IT and science fiction and fantasy and, you know, Star Trek, and, just nerdy television, books, all those kinds of things. And it was just an evolution, really, when blogging came along as a more standardized thing. I really got into it then. But my blog, to start off with, was hand-built. Every programming language I learned, I'd rebuild my website.
That's amazing.
So it kind of, I'm not a traditional blogger in the sense that a lot of people have started with Blogspot or Blogger.com, or when they first discovered WordPress. I was building it with HTML and programming, and I didn't know it was blogging until later. So I started with the internet back in 1993, 1994, and I actually dismissed the internet to start off with as being boring.
Isn't that interesting?
I worked for a college, and I was one of the only people in the area that had any interest in anything online, and that was my start. They needed to be set up as an internet service provider for the local area, so all the local schools and libraries and tutors and distance learning people could dial into that college, the internet service provider. So I had to set up all that infrastructure, I had to set up the website, intranet, online email, all that stuff, all that really geeky stuff. And because nobody more senior wanted to be responsible for it, I got it all, and I got to learn everything. And this was back when people just didn't know anything about the internet, so I got in early, and I loved it. So that was my entry. Quite untraditional.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, and I guess that would put you in quite a good position to really understand, you know, the platform that blogging is built on. And do you think that is quite helpful for you in terms of thinking about how to structure your content for search engines, for example, and making sure that it gets picked up by the, I guess, the more technical side of things?
Yeah, I think for the technical side of things, it helped It helped being an early adopter, but all the tools and services you get now, they insulate you from all that stuff. You don't need to know all the stuff that I had to learn. You know, I had to learn about the TCP/IP protocol and all this really nerdy stuff that you just don't have to care about. Mm. It's a utility now. Back then, it was like... Now, it's just, you know, you pay your money, you get your service. There's lots of free stuff that's way easier to use than stuff that we had to pay for or build. You know, you just don't have to care about a lot of the stuff that I had to learn, get encyclopedia-sized textbooks about, you know. It's just done for you. And so, yes, in a way, I had an advantage, but I think people that get into it today have a bigger advantage because all the messy stuff, all the down and dirty, nitty-gritty details, just taken care of. It's all about your content. It's about your personality. It's about interaction and relationships. You don't have to care about all the nerdy stuff. I still do because I'm a geek, but you don't have to.
Let me guess, you're a big fan of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
me and my wife, we just finished the series and the whole thing. And, we loved it heaps. And so I'm wondering if maybe we could class ourselves as geeks as well then. That's good. Okay, well, so you've come from way back, you know, even before blogs were called blogs. Sounds like you've had a bit of an advantage to, I guess, think about blogging from, the underlying principles or technologies as well. And my guess is that that would be helpful. But as you say, nowadays, it's really not that crucial anymore. But I'd like to move this interview to something that's quite close to your heart, something that you're really, really well known for. And that's the whole concept of authority blogging. Chris, could you please just tell us what is that and, you know, why should we care about that?
Well, authority blogging is becoming the go-to person in your niche. And it's about attracting an audience of people that really want to know you, hear from you, know, like, and trust you. So whereas normally when you're blogging, you're building traffic and you might make money from AdSense or you might sell some ads, authority bloggers don't need as high the traffic count as other monetization methods because you're building an engaged audience. You're building that 1,000 true fans that really want to hear from you. And off the back of that, you can make money from affiliate products. You can make money from selling your own products and services. But also, you get a profile in your market. You become well-known to the people you want to know you. So through blogging, I have had opportunities and projects and introductions and made an income that I just never would have expected, and I have to pinch myself some days. But it's even though, I co-authored the Pro Blogger book with Darren, Darren really takes the lead in that book on the direct money side, the AdSense, Chiquita ads. And my approach is the indirect side of building your profile so that you can sell products and services. And the approaches complement each other. I would say Darren is an authority blogger. You know, yourself and Yarrow, you're authority bloggers because you have built up that credibility. You have built up that profile. People want to hear from you about the stuff that you talk about. So all it is building that audience that really likes, and off the back of that, you get thousands of opportunities. And it really came about because when I started writing the programming articles when I was a programmer and I was helping people in email discussion write articles so that I didn't have to repeat myself. And all of a sudden, people are throwing money at me, saying, I want you to help me with this. And I say, go read my articles. And they'll say, oh, I want you to help me with this. How much do you want me to pay you? And so I didn't set out to make money from it. but sharing my expertise, if you like, or sharing my ideas, people were A, building a connection, and B,
Sorry, Chris, we just missed the B bit. I think you just we just lost your connection there for the. What, we got the A bit. What was the B bit again?
People were connecting with me through informational sharing, and B, people willing to pay for it.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so that's authority blogging. Now the big question is, how do you become an authority blogger? I mean, Yara and myself, I think we've been able to figure out our angle from it, but what's your angle? What's your? Could you give us perhaps a step-by-step process? Where should we start, and where shall we end up as to become an authority blogger?
The first step is to work out who you are and who your audience is. You have to find a way that what you know and can share overlaps with what your audience wants to know and is willing to engage in. So you have to find out what the challenges are of your niche and talk to the people in your niche. Actually, get to know the people. There's so many people that actually say, right, I want to make money blogging, so I'm going to write to make money online blog. And even though they've never made a dollar themselves, they tell other people how to make money. So the second step is to walk your talk. Either write about things that you actually know about and have experienced, or be open and honest about the fact that you're on a learning path. So you can either say, I know this, I know it works, and here's the proof, or say, this is the problem, along with me. So when I write about building an audience with blogs, it's because I have done it's because I'm an enthusiast, and I'm willing to make mistakes in public. I'm willing to share with people, this is what has worked for me, this is what happened. I'm confused about this. Has anybody got any information? What should I buy next? You know, I'm looking for a tripod. What should I buy next? I actually sold my photography blog, but it was quite successful, in even though I was an amateur. You know, so authority isn't necessarily being be just that you're willing to share and you're just one step ahead of the people that are reading you, if you're honest about it. So you should go there saying, I'm an expert, you should listen to me. You should go in there saying, this is the value to you, this is the benefit to you. So step three is, what's in it for me? The next thing you have to do is get visibility, and the best way that is a networking, by connecting with people like we're doing now.
Okay. You still there, Chris?
Yeah.
Great. So we've got those basically four steps. Figure out who you are and your audience and the challenges. Then, you know, don't just blog about stuff that you don't have any proof in. Make sure you walk the talk and show the results so that people can have that belief in you and know and that trust, knowing that what you're teaching is truthful. Next step is to think about what's in it for the audience, the people that you're writing towards, and then visibility. So by visibility, I'm assuming you mean getting exposure as much as you can.
Yeah. Being where your audience hangs out, being in front of your audience where they already are, and then you bring them back to your blog. So
okay.
Don't try and force people to visit you. Work out where they already hang out and how you can lead them back. So that might be in social media, that might be on YouTube videos, it might be in forums, it might be in email, anywhere they hang out already. It could be offline, it could be Blog World Expo. Just, you have to be where they already are and attract them back. So if you know what's in it for them, and if you know what the audience needs and wants to know about, and you have that visibility and you have a credible message, then you're going to build your traffic, you're going to build your credibility.
Awesome. So let's look at some of the how side of things. I mean, we've talked, I mean, for this, you know, it's the what. So is it possible to dig a little bit deeper for each of these four points and just go into the how to a little bit more? So for example, for step one, you know, finding out who you are and who your audience is and their challenges. Do you have some tips on how to actually do that? And for each of the other steps as well?
Right, well, the process that I would go through to make it quick and easy would be to find an example of a person that's in your target audience. If you want to build authority around about knitting, find a grandma who wants to learn how to knit and just talk to them. If you want to be writing about mountain biking, go to the nearest woodland trail where all the mountain bikers hang out and talk to people. Find out how they got into it, what they did to get better, and what the challenges are. If you actually talk to real human beings, they're willing to tell you. If you can say, I want to help you with this, tell me how I can help you, then, you know, people will talk to you and they'll give you that insight. If you go to socialmediaworkbook.com, you'll see that I'm doing the same thing online. If you go there, it's basically a form that says, look, I'm building this product about social media, but I want to know that I've captured what people really want to know about, so please tell me. And all it is a form that signs them up to an email. They put in the biggest challenge. I send them back lots of free information about social media. It's a win-win because I'm learning about what people want to know about. They get some free answers. So the connecting with what the audience challenge is really easy. You just have to ask people. Now, once you've got that, you learn what the biggest pain points or the biggest challenges, the biggest problems, the biggest interests of your audience. You turn that into what's in it for me. You can say, okay, the benefit of what I'm doing is, and it's an answer to their biggest pain point, their biggest challenge. So, for example, you've people who have absolutely no idea about blogging to being a blogger and making a success with that. You know, that's the what's in it for me. So you put that. And then you just have to show how you do it. You show the process, you answer those problems that people have identified with you. And the key part isn't sharing your expertise, it's getting them to be successful. It's getting your audience to actually have the proof of your expertise in their own hands. So if they have a problem, let's say, I don't know how to start a blog, and through your information, they then have a blog that's up and running, and they know how to have a blog, then they have the proof themselves. They don't have to listen to you. They don't have to listen to anybody else say that you can do this. They've seen it with their own eyes, and that's, you know, the best proof you can get. Awesome. Through sharing that expertise and having people have success, that's how you build up credibility. And investing in your audience and making sure that they get the results that you promised them is how you build advocates, because they will be so happy that you solved their actual problems that they really have that they'll tell other people. And your advocates is the best advertising you can get.
Awesome. Now, you talk about visibility there's step number four, which I'm assuming is really getting traffic to your blog, right?
Yeah, it's about getting traffic, but it's also getting exposure wherever people hang out. As I said before, if they're hanging out on forums, you should be sharing your advice on the forums that they hang out on. If your audience is on Facebook or LinkedIn or on Twitter, you need to be there. And it's the same principle as before. It's about actually engaging people, talking to people, asking questions and giving answers. It's being a valuable part of that community.
So how do you find out where how do you find out where these people hang out, and how do you, you know, so that you can go and chat to them?
The starting point would be to, if you already know about the audience, in that, you know, you're a mountain biker about to start a blog on mountain biking, you will know where they hang out. If you go into a niche and you're not quite sure about it, but you think you will have an interest in it, you're not probably going to have as much success, because you need to already have a passion for something to stick with it in the long haul. But if you're not entirely sure, Google is your friend, because you can put in the audience keywords and forum, the audience keywords and discussion list, you know, or the audience keywords and community. So if you look for mountain biking forums, you'll probably find them on Google, and that's a good place to start. But once you identify some actual living, breathing individuals, talk to them, because that's the richest insight you're going to get. You can do some of these things passively, but you're far better off interacting with people.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's talk about personal branding a little bit, because it ties in so well with this whole authority blogging or blogger concept. What can you tell us about personal branding? I mean, looking at your blog, I think you've done a pretty good job. You know, the whole blog is, you know, is you. It looks really good. And, you know, you've built up an authority for you as Chris G or Chris Garrett. What, you know, where do we start? Where can people start for building up their own personal brand? And what are the key things to look out for to really make that very effective?
It comes back to knowing who you are and being authentic about how you represent yourself. Because while people talk about branding as being an exercise or being an activity, branding is in fact reputation. It's what people think about you. It's what people say about you. So if you try to fake that, you're going to come off as BS. And people have an excellent, highly tuned BS detector nowadays. You know, you can fool some other people some other time. You're better off being authentic and actually being truthful. So know who you are, what your values are, know your audience and what their values are, and intersect. And talk about your topic using anecdotes and stories from your own experience and the things that you actually do and say, connect with what those values are. And it's about consistency, it's about visibility again, but it's also about representing the parts of you that you want to put to the fore. And you can't get away from your negatives, but what you can do is reframe them. One of my negatives is I'm really shy. I'm an introvert. And I've worked really hard to get past that because obviously it's a career-limiting aspect. So I have a teaching certificate. You know how people they go to the zoo to hold a tarantula and that gets them over fear of spiders? Or they go on a special plane flight to get over the fear of flying. I'm a teaching, so I would be forced to stand in front of rooms full of people all staring at me. But I tell people that I'm shy. I tell people I'm an introvert. It is part of my brand, no matter what. And, you know, I'm being interviewed now, and I can do that now. But, you know, some of my nervousness probably still comes through. I can't hide that. So it's better to be honest about it. And actually, a part of your audience will connect with you and say, well, actually, I'm the same. You know, if you search for analysis paralysis on Google, I'm on the first page because I procrastinate. I overthink things. You know, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if my photograph doesn't come up. analysis paralysis should be my middle name. They are the things that limit me, and I have to be open about these things. But actually, revealing your faults is a good thing. You know, if you're actually working on them, and you know, you don't kick puppies for a hobby. You know, just be you and represent you, because otherwise, people find out. Social media works at the speed of light. The internet has got a long, long memory. People will find out if you're trying to be fake. So, you know, just be you. And actually, through revealing parts about yourself, you know, what do you know about me already? I'm a geek. I'm an introvert. I've got analysis paralysis. I live in the UK, and my accents are very clear. people build a connection. So it's not just about having a good blog design. It's not just about saying, I'm an expert in this, that and the other. It's not about polish and a veneer of marketing BS. It's about actually engaging with people and having that consistency and building that relationship over time. And it's about what people say about you to other people. So it's going back to that advocate thing again earlier. If you're really helpful in your community and people get value out of what you do and how you help people, they're going to tell other people. They're going to say, talk to that Chris guy because he really helped me. You know, go talk to Gideon about blogs because he's the real deal. And it's not just you can help them, but they like you as well. And that's the best brand you can get. So even that horrible free blog theme that you're really helpful, you can have a positive brand. And you can use social media to magnify that, but it has to start with you. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I think I've come through a bit of a progression myself, because I come from a corporate background, and you know, there was very much an ego game, and going from that to running your own business, it's almost polar opposite. So I'm really glad that you're saying this, because it's something that we haven't talked about inside this interview series before. So I think that's a really, really valid point, just to be extremely authentic and just to be totally yourself and transparent. A question that I have about that is, how much do you actually reveal about yourself? You were talking about revealing some of your mistakes, but how do you draw a line somewhere, or you know, do you just reveal as much as you can?
Yeah, I actually made a pact with my wife. There are things that I will talk about and not talk about. This was before blogging really kicked off, but my life was already an open book, and she was worried about that, and I was starting to get concerned because there was already some strange people following me.
Okay.
But the big wake-up call was Darren Rouse actually had a crazy person turn up on his front doorstep, and I thought, hang on, take a step back here. How much of my life do I really want to share? So we'd already had that conversation, but then a couple of years later when that happened, I thought, no. So there are some things that I absolutely refuse to talk about, and actually it's stopped some interviews in the tracks before. One of the things is I don't talk about my income. Other people are really transparent about their income, how much money they make, where they make it. I talk about systems for generating income, but I don't talk about figures, because I think that's private to myself and my family. I don't even tell people. It is an interesting. So I will tell people if I have an affiliate interest, or if I've an interest in a product when I do a link, but I don't tell people everything I'm working on and the businesses that I own or have an interest in, because that leads to people being able to look into things that I don't want people looking into. Another thing is politics. Another thing is religion. I don't talk about that very much, although I have done both recently.
Okay.
I try to avoid it. Anything about my daughter and things like that, I try to keep under wraps. But as I said, all of those things at one point in time or another, I have leaked or found a reason why I should talk about it. I wanted to raise money for a charity that's really important to us. It's because my daughter had an operation. So I had to tell people about that. Because people said, you're asking us to donate to this charity, you're not telling us why. So I had to say, okay, well, it's because they helped my daughter. So I never have a binary approach to these things. It's not so strict, but the guidelines, you have to draw a line, and you have to know when you're being intentional about letting things out and when you're letting things slip. I try not to let things slip. You know what I mean? It's more, I am doing this for a reason and I'm happy with the consequences. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. Oops. You know, two different ways of looking at things. So I just tell people to know where your limits are, have a comfort zone, know when you're breaking that comfort zone, and be intentional. Because it's like with the politics thing. I lost a lot of Twitter followers because I defended the National Health Service in the UK.
Okay.
But I'm okay with that. If you know, knowing what I've just said about my daughter being helped with a medical condition, I had to defend the people that saved her life. I felt that. And people got offended that I was defending public health service. But it's like, if that's a reason to stop listening to me, then fair enough. You know, I don't mind. Mm. I'd rather that than people complain about it. You know, and that was Twitter. Obviously, I didn't put it on my blog. I didn't, it was just a couple of tweets. It was a post on my Posterous account. So I know when I'm going to do this, and I have had discussions with my wife that says, because of this payoff, I'm going to raise money for the charity. So it's a conscious decision. I think that people get into problems when they try to claw back, they try to say, oh, I didn't mean to say all that, and now, they get into problems. But it's in the Google cache, it's in archive.org. It's in people's inboxes. You can't claw it back.
Mm.
So it's better to be over cautious, because there's no way you can get it back. Once the gene is out, you can't put it back in the bottle.
Mm. That's right. So you're talking about how you don't really talk about your income levels. What if you are quite a successful blogger, or you have products on making money, say, for example, would that be an appropriate case to talk about it, or would you still recommend people maybe stay away from talking about income levels in that situation as well?
I think you have to have proof, but the proof does not have to be a dollar account in a bank account. You don't have to. The proof doesn't have to be in numerical terms. Everybody knows that I make my living through doing this, and people have been through the process with me and so have experienced it. I have testimonials from people that have had success by doing things with me. That's my proof. My advocates are my proof. I understand why Shul Mooney has his big Google check. I understand why Darren has talked about his income and where he gets his income, and Yarrow does the same thing. My approach has to be different, because when people zig, I have to zag. I have to differentiate and have to position myself differently. So that's an aspect of it. But also, I think each person has their own sensitivities and privacy things. I talk about things that other people wouldn't, and other people talk about things that I wouldn't. So you have to do what works for you. And the Google check approach, I think, works for a certain market. Mine isn't that market. My market tends to be people that are solo entrepreneurs, small businesses, or people that want to get into information marketing, that have come over from the affiliate marketing world. They know the sort of money that can be made. They know that different niches have different profitability, and they know that just because it's a certain amount in a certain niche doesn't necessarily mean it'll translate to them. So I don't think actually they would be too persuaded by actual figures, the people I talk to. Whereas if you want to tell people how to move, then it definitely relates, because that's the proof that they need. So it's you have to be a bit strategic about it as well, as know where your privacy is.
Fair enough. Okay, well, let's talk about social media a little bit, because that really, to me, that relates a lot to the personal branding thing as well, because it's all about being authentic and being you, and making connections with people using social media. Could you shed some light on this whole social media thing and how you use it to help I guess, help get more visibility and help brand whatever you're doing online?
The way I use social media hasn't really changed very much since I first went online. I have conversations with people, and I still have conversations about Star Trek and Red Dwarf and Doctor Who, all those years later. But the way I approach everything, not just social media, but the way I approach everything is I try to remember that on the other end of the line is human beings. I try to engage with people. So I don't feel like I'm doing social media. I feel like I'm connecting with people. With my blog, I feel like I'm trying to get through and help people on the other end of the line. With Twitter, I feel like I'm having conversations with human beings. And I think if you keep that in mind, then you'll not go far wrong. I think when people get into difficulties, it's because they either get obsessed with the technology and worry about software, tools, services, or they try to do everything in a too mechanical approach of step one, do this, step two, do that. This is how you're successful. You have to go through the 10-point plan. You have to keep in mind that social media is primarily social. It's secondary that it's media. Social is the important thing. And what is social? But people. It's Soylent Green. It's people.
Yeah.
You know, you have to know why you're using it, but also remember that the other people on the other end, why are they using it? What do they want to do? What do they want to hear? What information are they looking for? Are they wanting to be are you getting access to things that inform you? Can you share that stuff that you're being informed about? So I intentionally follow people that either inspire ideas in myself, give me access to information I wouldn't get otherwise. For example, I follow my friends on Facebook. I don't have to read 100 blogs about Facebook, because I know if I follow Mary Smith, I know about Facebook, because it's important. She's going to tell me about it and all her other Twitter followers. If I want to know about building a brand with video, I follow Gary Vee. I know Gary Vee's going to tell me the real deal, so I don't need to follow 100 blogs about that. Wine as well, and baseball.
Yeah.
But, you know, so from my selfish point of view, they're the people I seek out. But also, I go back to everybody that interacts with me. If they start a conversation with me and they're not a spammer, and there's a lot of those about, I'll follow them. How come I follow a gajillion people? Because every time somebody out replies to me and they seem interesting and authentic, I follow them back. And so that's my approach. I also try to give good info to stuff that might not be specifically interesting. So, you know, chit-chat. And I know that turns some people off. I do tweet a lot. So I try to make sure that there's a higher signal-to-noise ratio as possible.
Okay.
You know, when I'm geeking out, I try to then come back and say, okay, these are things that you might be finding interesting right now.
Okay. Awesome. I really like that. I really like the whole authenticity that just shines through what you're saying. And I think that's, you know, why you have so many followers on your blog. So that's very cool. Okay, we are getting close to the end of the interview. I'm just wondering, Chris, if you could share with us, this is something that I always ask people because, you know, it's been the, I guess, the search of the Holy Grail for me for the last few years that I've been online. I think I've been able to identify a few key things about this. But could you share with us your three top traffic generation strategies to help you get more traffic to your blog, given that you've followed these tips that you've already talked about to build your own brand, to be authentic, you know, and to just have this human interaction and relationships with people online?
Yeah, the best traffic I get, not necessarily the highest traffic, but the best targeted traffic I get is from other bloggers, so networking. if Darren puts a link on his blog, if Yara puts a link on his blog, Shoe Money, John Chow, I know that they're going to be people that are going to convert into subscribers. So that the primary thing is get links from other bloggers, whether that be saying, hi blogger, I think this is cool, if you like it, you know, please share it with your friends. However you do it, it could be guest posting, but getting links from other bloggers is the best traffic I've found, bar none. The second approach to getting some good traffic is social media. That could be getting to the front page of Dig. It's quite tricky to get to the front page of Dig nowadays. It used to be a lot easier. But Reddit is still quite easy to get onto the front page of if you've got something useful and valuable. I have a free report on that socialmediaworkbook.com site, actually, I mentioned earlier. I've got 102 headline formulas. If you go there, sign up, you get 102 headline formulas that just fill in the blanks, and they make really compelling headlines. So nice. If you want something to go viral in social media, then, you know, put out some really cool content that people want to know about. Get some friends to help you vote it up, but, you know, don't spam it. Just, you know, you don't want to be doing this every day. But, you know, if you're really proud of your content, tell your friends, get them to vote on it. So number two would be social media.
Right.
Number three is make the most of the traffic you get. People are so focused on that initial burst of traffic, they forget that, you know, if you get people to come back every day, then your traffic's going to go up. But instead, they try and get new people all the time. It's just like, you know, when you sign up to the electricity company or to get a new cell phone, they give you a special deal to get you as a new customer. But then when you come to renew, they treat you like rubbish. You know, they practically ignore you. And so you go to a new one. Well, if you do that as a blogger, if you're constantly trying to get new people, but you forget about the existing people, then you're going to get bad word of mouth, not positive word of mouth. So answer your comments.
Okay.
Get people to sign up to your blog. Build an email list. You know, if people don't want to get the feed, give them the option of email, because most people don't know what RSS is. So get them to keep coming back. Engage them. Give them reasons to come back. And your traffic will grow, because all the efforts you put into getting new people will compound the success you have with your existing audience. Don't ignore the people that already know and like you. And then it'll grow. And if you can get traffic from other bloggers, if you can get social media traffic, and you can keep the traffic you get, then it's going to grow, and it's going to grow long-term steadily over time. If you try to get instant bursts of traffic and then you let it go to waste, then all you're doing is damaging your reputation.
Mm-hmm. So just going back to the first one that you talked about, getting traffic from other bloggers with guest blogging, what has been your best ways of being able to do that? Because often when you approach a popular blogger with a lot of traffic on their blog, you know, they get maybe one of those every day or twice a day. Do you have any strategies to help identify these people and to get them to notice you so that you can create some content for them?
Well, I'll tell you why I turn people down or ignore people. And it sounds horrible, but you'll work out in a second that I'm not being too horrible.
Okay.
When people spam you and they say, here's a press release, you delete it. If somebody comes to you and says, this is really cool, you should link to it, you delete it. If, on the other hand, somebody comes to you and you recognize the name, so the from address is somebody that is familiar with you, and they start it with saying, what's in it for you? Or what's in it for your audience, yeah, then you're going to take notice of them. So if you've never heard of a person and all they do is spam you with a link, you're going to tell your friends. You're going to tell all the other bloggers in your niche, ignore this person, they're a spammer. Yeah, people do talk. There are back channels. So not only have you burnt that relationship up with that individual, but also, you've probably got a bad name in the niche. But don't do that. Get to know the person first. Get to know what they're interested in, what they tend to publish on their blog. either the sort of blogger that does feed link posts, either the sort of blogger that's more likely to do a retweet, either the sort of blogger that is involved in social bookmarking, or either the sort of blogger that's more into communities and forums. Mm-hmm. And get to know them. And get in front of them in a positive way so that they recognise your name. If the first thing you say to a person is, I've got something for you, they're going to smack you in the face. They're not going to shake you by the hand. You know, if I came up to you in a bar, you've never heard of me before, I said, give me $10, what would you say?
Yeah, it's smack you in the face.
But people do it all the time in email.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it all the time in Twitter. Hey, I've just followed you, please retweet this. No!
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but if Gideon comes up to me on Twitter and says, I've just posted this, could you retweet it for me? And I look at it and it's really cool, then I'm going to do it because, you know, I know, I can trust you. We've come full circle. So obviously there's a whole process that I go through in my course, but the core of it is being a human being, recognising that the other person is a human being, and using that social behaviour to achieve what you want to do while being an authentic and honest human being. You know, actually building a positive reputation rather than a negative one. It's not manipulation. It's just being a real person. It's doing what you're doing in your life. For some reason, people turn into monsters online.
That's very true. Oh, look, that makes so much sense, Chris. I think you've really hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, no, thank you for that. You've given me a lot to think about too, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners would be feeling the same way about what you've just shared with us. We've probably come, I think we've covered a lot of stuff, so it's probably a good time to bring this call to an end. Chris, perhaps a nice way to finish off this call. How about if you could give just one piece of advice to someone just starting out, or even to someone who has already been blogging for a while, and they really want to go big time with this, they really want to make this successful, what would that one thing be that they need to do or think about or implement?
I think the biggest advice I can give to anybody is remember the other person that you're communicating with. If you go in thinking, what's the thing that I'm going to get out of this, how can I grasp, how can I, you know, if you think of it as money getting, or if you think about it as getting famous, then you're going to fail. What you have to think is, how can I help other people achieve what they want to do? How can I help other people be happier? How can I help other people achieve their goals? Because when you focus on other people, A, you're more on topic, B, you're more interesting, and C, you'll achieve what you want to achieve because you're helping other people. The people that are selfish and trying to grasp or trying to just take, they're the people that crash and burn in flames. They might reach some heights initially, but you know the phrase, be nice to people on the way up, you might need them on the way down? It really works in real life. That is the truth. I can't count the number of people over the last 15 years that I've seen rise and fall overnight, because they forget who gets them there. They forget their audience. They only think about themselves. The people that succeed long term, the people that get the respect and the trust and people talk about in a good way, are the people that never forget their audience. So always be focused on helping other people achieve what they want to achieve, solving their problems, and the rewards do come. If you focus on what you can create today, the value that you create, Jonathan Fields, he starts every Twitter session with, who can I help today? That's the attitude you want to have. You know, Chris Brogan, why is he a huge presence in social media? Because he spends every minute of every day thinking about how to help other people, you know. And I think that's the bottom line. Look at the people you respect. Look at the people that are visible in your niche. What are they doing? And I expect 9 times out of 10, they will be the most helpful, generous people in your niche. The remaining percentage, look back in a year's time, are they still there? And I guarantee, over time, the people that are selfish and causing problems, the people that are sleazy, they disappear because social media reveals them. Mm. Social media is a magnifying glass on your character, so you better start out correct.
Mm. Very good. No, that's awesome. Chris, thank you so much for all this amazing wisdom that you've shared with us. Really, really helpful. It's certainly given me a lot of really, really good take-home points that I'm going to be applying to my own channel and my own blog. I mean, I've just started my own blog at recently as well, my own personal blog. And, you know, I've been thinking about how can I make that go big? And I really like what you're saying about thinking about the audience first and thinking what can I do to make their life better? And I really like that. So that really resonates with me really well. I'd like to thank you very much, Chris, and everyone else who's listened to this interview. You know, if you want to check out Chris's stuff, you can go to his blog, which is www.chris.com. So that's chrisg.com. And I'll link to this blog as well right below this interview. And also make sure there's a link there for socialmediaworkbook.com. So if people want to check that out, they can go there as well. Once again, Chris, thank you very much for joining us. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks. It's been fun.